You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
I have a lot of things that the Lord has shown me that I want to share with you because it has to do with our house. It has to do with us. There is a lot of breakthrough going on. I know that there's breakthrough in business. One of our web church people, they live up north part of the time. They live down here part of the time. And I talked to them on Friday and they were like, he's an executive of an IT firm. And he's like, I hate to say it, but we've got so much business. I am so busy, I can't keep up with everything. He said it's a good thing. I also have a client, same thing. There's a suddenly of income producing products that are completely transforming their bottom line. And I'm telling you this because if you need breakthrough in your business, then grab a hold of the anointing that's already occurring. And I know in Matt's business, his business is booming. So if you need breakthrough in your business, what God is doing in our house, he will do in your business. So grab a hold of that, okay? Lot of breakthrough in that. I'm going to talk about something serious, too. So we'll do the serious stuff first, and then we'll do the other stuff. But last week, I had the opportunity to have a small intercessory group that prays for leaders, prays for nations, that kind of stuff, pray for me. There were seven of them, and they prayed for me last week, and I haven't had anybody prophesy and pray over me in a long time, especially not seven people. So they recorded it, and it was transcribed, and it was really good because most of it had to do with our house. There were, you know, one or two personal things, but really it had to do with the gathering and where we're going. And they had asked me, what do you want prayer for? I said, I don't want to tell you what I want prayer for. I want you to seek the Holy Spirit and tell me what he's showing you. And it was so cool because I have this list of six things that I'm really contending for. One personal, but the rest is for our house and for our region. And they hit on those things. So it was confirming what I felt was a confirmation from the Lord for us, for our house. It was really amazing. I was like, I didn't say anything. You know, it's just a conference call and they'd be saying something. I'd be like, ooh, that's so good. Ooh, try not to disrupt the flow. I had to put it on mute for a minute because it's exciting when the Lord uses people that don't really know you to begin to prophesy into what you're contending for with him. So it was very, very, very exciting. And not only did they confirm, but they also prophesied beyond what I was praying. So I went back and added to what they prophesied into. So it was very, very exciting. One of the words, and I'm going to share a couple of words with you and just kind of let you know how that's working for us, how that's going to work for us, how this, what is being confirmed is going to catapult us as we're moving forward with the Lord. Let's see where we start. Okay, here's one. And I know that we all know this, but there's two parts of this that I want you to understand. Here was the first word. Someone had actually visited our church from this small group. And I didn't even know they had this intercessory group. And part of their word was, I was going to tell you when I was at your church that I have never felt, or for a long time has it been that I have felt such a powerful anointing in worship. And then she says, and it's videos. Like, and I know she didn't mean it like that, but she was like, and it was videos. You know? She said, the corporate anointing on your body is amazing. The worship is seriously so beautiful. And she said, all I could do was weep. She said, I want you to know the corporate anointing is very powerful there, and the worship is incredible, and the presence is incredible. And so I'm thinking, yes, Lord, that confirms that, you know, whether we're live, whether we're video, or whether we're just in a group of people worshiping you, That's all we need, is our hearts towards you. And I was so confirmed and grateful, because you know this journey of videos has been a journey for us. And now, of course, God is raising us up a worship team, but it's awesome. So I'm praising God, and I'm so excited about it. And there's another portion to the corporate word, to the corporate anointing I'll share in a minute. But the rest of her, she's prophesying that we have this corporate anointing, that we carry the presence in a way she hasn't felt in so long. But this is the part that's serious that I want to talk to us about. Let me just tell you what she said. She said, I go to a mega church up north. We have an incredible worship team. Our worship is over the top. But what I encountered at your place, I haven't encountered in a long time. That really struck me. And the reason it struck me is because I began to ask the Lord, Lord, how is it that we can have incredible over-the-top worship and not have an experience with the presence of the Lord? How is it that, you know, there's just this amazing, talented, wonderful team, but she hasn't had an encounter with God in so long, she didn't realize that's what she was missing. And I felt like it was a little bit of a warning to us from God, that we can do God without God. We can feel like we've had God, but he was never invited. He was never a part. And, you know, worked, but it's true. We have pressed in hard to be able to move and allow God to move, out of his way so he can move. We have stewarded this with tears and sweats and intercession, and all of you guys, you know, just being faithful. You guys are faithful worshipers. That's what they said afterwards. They were like, your people worship. Like, they worship from the depth. It's not a, okay, we're going to sing, let's go. You know, it's when we come in because we're ready to worship our King, to adore him and to really follow him. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, can our worship experience counterfeit our encounter? Can we have such great talent and such great music and such great words and such great this and never have a real presence of the Lord in the middle of it? And I just felt like for us, that's a little bit of, as we move and we're growing and things are happening, we just need to make sure that Jesus is our one thing. Amen. Jesus is our one thing. And that we don't get so caught up in the motion and the production that we forget that we're here because Jesus is our one thing. Jesus is it. And I was reading through, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. Mark 6, we've got a few scriptures we're going to go through today. I was reading through Mark 6 because I've been reading through Mark. And have you guys been practicing like I told you to practice, to read the word out loud, see Jesus doing it, and then see yourself doing it? Let me see those hands. Okay. Oh, good. I got it. So we're going to read through just a few scriptures out of Mark 6. As Mark 6, 1, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, they're talking about mighty works. And if you read the Bible chronologically, you understand that the whole Bible is not in chronological order, right? So if you read the Bible chronologically, you understand that I went back and looked. Some of the mighty works that he had done was cast out demons, was open up deaf ears, was to quiet the storm, rebuke the storm, cast out demons, give sight to the blind, heal the woman with the issue of blood, raise the girl from the dead. So these are the mighty works he did. that they got to see. Okay? Then it goes on, verse 3. Is this not the carpenter's, the son of Mary, the brother of James? He's like, isn't this our neighbor? So they've seen these mighty works, but it's the neighbor. It's the neighbor next door. Isn't that him? So they were offended at him. They were offended. And I looked up offended. I was like, okay, what's offended? It says, there's a whole bunch of, but it says it can hinder right conduct or thought when we get offended. It can offend it. It can hinder our conduct. It can hinder our thought. So here are these people. They're offended at him. They've heard him speak. They've heard the wisdom. They've heard something that no one else can do. They've seen something that no one else can do. But they're offended because he's their neighbor. And then in verse 4, it says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. And as I was kind of praying through this, you know, the word of Jesus is clear. He wasn't welcome in his own home. You know, his where his community was, where his town was, he was not welcomed. And that is a word to the church. We can't block Jesus from his own house. We can't. And this is no articulation on the place that they go to church at. I don't even know where it is. I don't know anything about it. But we have to understand there is a move right now in the physical house of the Lord to block Jesus out of it. There is a move for entertainment. And you can, you know, if you saw it or didn't see it, we had a men's conference somewhere at a church. And it was literally entertainment. And do we need entertainment in the house of the Lord? Because Jesus isn't enough fun for us. He's not exciting for us. He doesn't day glow for us. He doesn't have lights and smokes and mirrors. That's what's being exchanged for Jesus. He's being exchanged for something that will keep your attention for more than 10 minutes. That will keep your attention. We're going to be here 2 hours this morning. Probably 70% of the churches can't make it more than 70 minutes in and out. That's what they call it, 70 minutes in and out. Because we don't have enough time for Jesus. What we've got to make sure of is that you don't get bored with me. That you don't get bored with what the worship it was. That you don't get bored with the testimonies. We want to make sure that this cultural training of social media, you get 3 seconds of every flip. We want to make sure that the church, the people that come, don't get bored listening to the word of God. And that is a warning for us as we go through what we're doing. You know, not every Sunday's perfect, but Jesus is perfect. And he's here every Sunday. And he may not be here the way we want him to be, but he is here. And he may not do what we want him to do, but he's going to do what he's going to do because we've decided that's the way we're going to operate. So I felt like it was such a warning that we watch who our eyes are on. And that our eyes, whether we're in this house or whether we're in our house or whether we're at work or driving down the street, Jesus is not a secondary passenger in our life. That he is the only passenger and everything we do is out of our relationship with him. So that's just kind of that really caught my breath. And not only that, we've had a lot of stuff going on in the big corporate churches that, you know, we've had some cleaning of house, which God needs to do what he needs to do with the leadership. You know, if we need to be cleaned out, we need to be clean. You can't have unholy people lead people to holiness when they don't lead a holy life. You know, we can't have dualistic lives. We're in the church, it's all good and clean. But when I'm home, you would be in shock. And that is another thing that's going on. Shock Christianity. Let me shock you and get your attention, and then I'm going to try to get you saved. But I've already offended you by the shock that I've given you, and how does that work? So that's going to be my pet peeve for this week. I am praying for the churches. I'm barely praying for the churches. I'm like, Lord, you need to be back in the house. And he's like, they've locked the door. I am not welcome there. Because I take too much time, because I surprise them, because their agenda doesn't allow me to move as I see fit. The house has been locked against me, and we just want to agree to break the locks off the houses that have closed Jesus off, because we need a church that is strong, that is full of life, and that can preach a gospel message that will touch the hearts. I can't save anyone without Jesus. We aren't the ones who do it, but we're the ones who display the heart of Christ that help people get to that relationship with him. So we've got to begin to intercede for the house of the Lord and for the doors to be open for Jesus to move again. And it is not it's not easy. It's not the popular way to go, but we're not really into popular. We're not that popular. I know Pastor Gene on Friday night, we had the outpouring. And go back and watch it if you haven't watched it. It was very powerful. But afterwards, you know, he gets a prophetic song. And it is not something that he does on a regular basis. And it's not something that he runs to do on a regular basis. But one thing he does is he's obedient to what the Lord's called him to do. Whether that's what he wanted to do Friday night or not, he did it. And it was such a powerful breaker that he carried that thank God that you did. But it's not the easy road. But it's the only road we can go right now. It is the only road that we can go. So we've really got to start praying for the churches. I start praying, God, search us. Search my heart. See if there's anything in us that has gotten off kilter. Because we know if we get one degree off, by the time we get where we're going, we're like 90 miles off the side, right? So, you know, if we're one degree off on 19, we're going to get run over, right? It's always a roll of the dice out there. But, you know, and I did. I started praying, God, search us. If there's anything we're doing right now that has gotten out of alignment with you being the Lord of your house, then show us. Show me. Whatever I'm doing, just show me, God, because I don't want to get off. I don't want to get off. So there's a reason we got where we are, and it's because we are hungry people for the Lord. And we know who we're serving. And it's Jesus. It's not me. It's not Pastor Gene. It's not Chuck. But yeah. So that's the serious word. Okay, let me tell you the rest of a couple other things that I thought was important for us to really not only celebrate, but pray into, because this is where God has taken us. One of the words was, the greater things have begun and will continue to intensify and open up for us. Heaven continues to widen over our ministry here. And they said, I saw people flocking to and fulfilling and filling our ministry. So not only fulfilling what God has called us to do, because you know, if you're fulfilling what God has called us to do, then there's a destiny in there for you that God's called you to do too, right? We aren't fulfilling our mission here for you not to be fulfilling your mission where God has called you. And we have seen people coming. We have seen just this surge of people that are hungry for the Lord that want to be a part. And this is part of the whole vision for 25 years that the Lord gave me a long time ago, that people are going to be coming. They're going to be healed. They're going to be saved. They're going to be positioned where they're supposed to be positioned. And they're going to be in a house that carries an anointing that will help them have breakthrough in where God's called them. I thought that was good. I mean, I was really excited. I'm like, God, this is such confirmation to what you're doing. And then I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one. And that's what I called the sermon. I could have called the sermon, you know, just roll the dice and we'll see what name you want to call it, because there's a lot of subjects here. But this one I'm going to talk about is called Fringe Benefits. And let me just read a scripture. It's out of Malachi 4:2. And I don't think I gave Noah that. Whoops. He got most everything. But Malachi 4:2, let's just turn here real quick and we'll just read it all together. This is how they opened it up. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Just say, I want to be fat. In the spiritual realm. You know, back then, that was a good thing. Little chub meant you had a lot of benefits, you know. And the other part of the word was, I see the Holy Spirit hovering over your church, the gathering. And we know that the wings in the scripture are the wings or the fringe on Jesus's tallit. And then they go on to say, when the woman with the issue of blood went to him, she knew the scripture from Malachi. That's why she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment or the fringe of his garment, it wasn't his arm, it wasn't his face, it was his garment. It was the fringe of his garment. And the Lord says, your church has fringe benefits. And he's going to heal many. And he's going to heal many, many people. And I see the Holy Spirit brooding and hovering over the gathering. So fringe benefits, just think about this. I know that there are many of us that have been contending for healing, but I want you to know part of the word that we received in this, that there is just a healing breakthrough that is coming to our church. And where we've contended, we will see the results of that contending. I know I ask this all the time, but how many people have had healing throughout their life? Okay, so what we're looking for is that next breakthrough in it. And they said, that's what they said, the healing will become just almost like water in our house. And that when people come, they can just get healed. And we do know that God uses the doctors. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're contending doctor, miraculous, process, it doesn't matter. We're contending. My contention with God for the last 25 years is 100%. I'm not happy with 80%. I'm not happy with 99%. If you went and healed them all, then I'm contending for the 100%. There's nothing in the word that would go against that. What we do is we say, oh, well, he went to the person at the well and they only healed one person. So that became our theology. Instead of it being an anomaly because there was something specific for that guy, it becomes the theology. Well, Jesus could have healed them all, but he only healed that one. So that's my theology. I'm not healed because he doesn't really want to heal me, or he hasn't seen me yet, or he didn't heal everybody at the well, or whatever it is, the pool of Bethesda. But we have to be careful not to make a theology out of something that is one thing compared to the multiples of healing that Jesus did. I'm not willing to let one go unhealed. I'm not willing for myself to be completely healed. So we will contend until each one of us are completely healed 100%. And wherever the enemy comes against us again, we will go again for it. We will go again for it. And whenever someone says, oh, that's just age, we're going to say, I rebuke you like Jesus rebuked the storm. We have our own responsibility, personal responsibility to take care of ourselves, but we have to also have a personal responsibility to take care of what the word says is our benefit. Forget not our benefits. Who healed us? We forget not our benefits. Being healed is a benefit of being a child of God. Okay? Having financial breakthrough is a benefit That is part of our benefit. Having our children's children serve the Lord. Isaiah 59:21. That is a benefit. It's a benefit. So I'm not going to forget my benefits. And people will live off the fringe benefits because we live in the full benefit of God. You know, when we had through our many years of marriage, 44 years of marriage, we've had a lot of people live with us. How many people like to have people live with them? A few. We've had a lot of people, family, you know, missionaries, evangelists. We've had a few. And there's a few we had to give red notices to. The grace is lifted. You're going to have to move. But it was always amazing. But, you know, we had a couple of interns from Randy Clark stay with us for 9 months. We had an evangelist stay with us for a year. But when they moved into our house, they got all the benefits of the house. We fed them. We took care of them. We prayed over them. We mentored them. We counseled them. We slapped them. You know, we corrected them. I mean, they got all the benefits, just like a child would get. So understand, we carry the full benefit. And when we encounter people, they get the fringe. They get it because we have it. And I was reading Genesis, I think it's Genesis 14, about Abram. And when Lot was taken by the kings, and they took not only him, but they took all the women, they took all the possessions, they took everything he had. And Abram gets 318 servants who he's trained for war. He's trained them for war. And he's like, we're going to get our people back. The enemy will not hold our people. We're going to get our people back. Oh, I think Noah has it up there. It's Genesis 14:14. Let me just read that. Because we have to understand, we're going to get our people back. We're going to get them back to where they belong. And I think Nina forgot to say that before her son got born again, the Lord spoke to her and said, Jake, it's time for him to come back. And then within months, right? Within months, he was back. So it's time to get our people back. You know, there may be a war out there, but we're moving into a land of milk and honey, redeeming what God has promised us. Shoo, Lord, you are good to us. He's very good to us. Now, when Abram, this is verse 13, when Abram heard that his brother, which it says brother there, but if you look it up, it's relative or kin. It's not his brother. It's his brother's son was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house. So they got the benefit of his house, including the training, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided up the forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Horbah and north of Damascus, so that he brought back all the goods. He brought back his brother's Lot, and his goods, as well as all the women and all the people. That is what we're moving into now. We are bringing back everything that has been stolen. We are no longer going to let the enemy use our benefits, use our finances, use our children, use our territory. We are no longer allowing that. We're bringing back the benefits that the Lord has given us. It's time to put a stake in the ground and say, I'm bringing back all the benefits. Everything the enemy has stolen, I'm bringing back. And I'm not going to let the enemy try to convince me that it is hopeless. That I've waited so long, just like Matt was talking about his mom. 2002 to 2009, that's some time. And some of you have waited longer, but we believe in the goodness of the Lord to fulfill his word, because that's what he says. I will fulfill the promises I have made. I will fulfill his word. So Lot enjoyed the protection of the Lord over Abram's house. We enjoy the protection of the Lord because we're in this house. Fringe benefits. I love it. And the last one, I'm just going to end with this, is corporate anointing. We do have a powerful corporate anointing. And I've said before, we out worship the worship. The worship videos are our backup band. You know, they're the opening act that just get us warmed up, that get us shaken out of our morning coffee and get us moving. But really, our hearts are for Jesus. And when we come here, that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. And we do have quite a corporate anointing to be able to worship. And we want to not just maintain, but grow that. Grow that. Grow that freedom of the Lord to move in this house. Second Chronicles 7. This has been kind of my theme verse for the last, I don't know how long, a while. I read it quite a bit. Because this is what I feel like we do every day when we, even in our homes, when we get up, we are the temple of the living God. We wake up in dedication of our temple to Him and to work through His day. And as we gather together as one, we come as a one collected temple of the body of Christ to worship. 7:1, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. We're going to start seeing more fire in this house. We've seen it. I saw a little bit this morning. I was like, oh, there's like little fire people over here, fireballs over here. I come down from heaven and consume the burnt offering. Our worship is an offering unto Him. Worship is a sacrifice that we choose to worship Him when we could be flipping through our phones. I've preached at churches where I watch people, they're not looking up scripture. I'm like, that's cool. It's not my house. It's not my house. Because my house does not do that. And it's not because, you know, I've got a hall monitor going around slapping people's hand. It's because our house has come to worship the Lord. They don't care what's on their phone unless there's an emergency text. You know, sometimes I'll get a text and say, is this the last song? Well, I do answer that, Noah. But, you know, we don't have a house that says they're bored flipped on their phones. Because if they did, they wouldn't be here. Because we got some worship. We got some encounter. We got some Jesus stuff to do. We don't have time for the phones. Yeah, and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. We will see different compositions of the glory of the Lord. We will see that. And we have seen it. And my heart knows with not only confidence, but expectancy and just prophetic knowing that God has even more He wants to show us. He's just loosening us up. It's just taking 6 months, a year to kind of loosen us up, to get ready for like the greater outpouring He has for us. We aren't going to be like the people of Nazareth that saw the greater things and then be offended by something that Jesus didn't do for us. We're going to see the greater things and say, God, I know there's more. I know there's more. He said He has more to tell us, but we can't take it all at once. Although I've asked Him, are you sure? Are you sure? He's like, I'd have to take you. No. Verse 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worship and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good. And for His mercy endures forever. That is our heart. We are the children who are encountering the glory of the Lord. And we find ourselves on our face saying, He is good. The glory of the Lord has filled this house. The glory of the Lord is going to do things that are beyond what we can understand. But we're saying, yes, God, we want those things. You do what you want to do. Because we're here to serve You. We're here to worship You. We're here to declare Your glory, Your goodness. God, we're here for You. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand and pray. Woo! I feel the glory of the Lord right now. Woo, Jesus. Just begin to pray in the Spirit for a minute, and then we'll close it out, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank You for Your glory that's filled this house. Oh, Jesus, Your presence has filled this house. God, we come for You, Lord. We're here for You. And Lord, I just want to pray for the churches around the world that the breaker anointing will come through and unlock the doors so that you, Jesus, will have a home to be present in. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Bring revival to the church. Bring revival to your body. Where the bodies have gone dead, Lord, electrocute them back to life. Bring the defibrillators out. Bring our hearts back in sync with you, Lord. And God, we just declare your glory. We declare your wonder, your beauty. We declare your honor. All honor goes to you, Jesus. Even this morning as we worshiped and testified and gave prophetic word, Lord, this morning, I pray that you felt exalted, that we were a sweet incense up to you, that as you breathe in our praise, our worship, our word this morning, that it brings honor to you. It fills you with the beautiful aroma of worship and love. God, we love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. And we thank you for the anointing that's on every person here, the anointing that's on this house. And Lord, let us carry that breaker anointing everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. A breaker anointing for you, Lord. To heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, cleanse the lepers, Lord. Freely we have received, so freely we give. So thank you, Lord. As we've asked, I know you've heard. Your word says, I have heard, and that you answer before our words are even completely out of our mouth. So, Lord, thank you for all that you're going to do today and the rest of the week to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.